Medical students often start their education as idealistic men, young men and women who want to heal the world. But as the grind of learning so much begins to take a toll, moral and ethical considerations begin to take a back seat to passing tests or just getting through a long night on call. A decade ago, a study showed that 58% of students said they had done something unethical. 52% said they had misled a patient. Since then, medical schools have tried to incorporate training about ethics, professionalism, and morality into their curricula. But as medical student Julie Rosenthal reports, these efforts have had mixed success.
Tien Peng is a medical student at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. He says he came to medical school full of hopes and dreams, but his ideals have faded in just 3 short years. The case that troubles him the most was a terminally ill man with advanced cancer.
He came in as a full code patient.
To doctors, that means if his heart or breathing stopped, this patient wanted them to try everything to bring him back. But Peng says what the man wanted and what his teachers and colleagues wanted were two different things. The general feeling among the team was that this was a man who would soon suffer great pain from cancer, who would soon lose consciousness, and would have essentially no quality of life. The team urged Peng to get a do not resuscitate order, a DNR.
I felt that my team really wanted me to convince his family to agree to a DNR status, and I eventually did convince his family to do so once the patient was no longer competent to make his own decisions. Whether that was for his own benefit, I can't really comment on because he was in a lot of pain at the end of his life, but I don't know if I did the right thing by convincing his family to basically agree to pull the plug on him.
But Peng did as he was told. Eager to please medical students often find themselves at odds with the wishes of the doctors in charge.
One thing that made me feel guilty was that being DNR'd was the easiest thing for us to do, because that sort of frees us from a responsibility of having to do anything drastic. In the end, it probably would not have mattered, but perhaps our own convenience added to that formula in deciding what ultimately was done for this patient. And in a way, that's kind of selfish.
A spokesperson for Johns Hopkins says that medical students should not be independently talking to families about do not resuscitate orders. It goes against long-standing policy. Hopkins medical students also have an out when placed in uncomfortable situations. They can page the ethics committee at any hour. But the reality is, medical students often feel pressure to please the doctors in charge. They complain that they're at the bottom of a powerful hierarchy. They're afraid to question the decisions of their teachers, the same people who dole out their evaluations. Candace Parker is a medical student at Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Sometimes your thoughts and your morals and maybe the way you would treat that patient is suppressed because you don't really have the freedom to be yourself and make your own decisions. The decisions that are being made about the patients that you have responsibility for ultimately come from people who are ahead of you. And sometimes those aren't the best ethical decisions or moral decisions.
In an effort to combat this, many medical schools are teaching moral and ethical decision-making.
My name is Mike Williams. I'm one of the faculty here in the Department of Neurology, and I got asked today to talk to you about brain death.
Dr. Mike Williams is a neurologist and ethicist at Johns Hopkins. He lectures students and residents on morals and ethics.
What would you say if the examiner was in the patient's will?
That might not be a good idea.
That might not be a good idea. Why not?
Conflict of interest.
Okay, so conflict of interest. So, I mean, that's sort of a silly example of the examiner is in the patient's will, and maybe they've got an ulterior motive in declaring the patient brain dead. Is there another kind
classes
of
like these provide a basis for ethical education, but may not be enough when students leave the classroom and enter the busy world of the hospital. Being so busy may stunt moral development. One widely accepted theory by psychologist Lawrence Kohlberg says that people pass through 6 stages of moral reasoning. In the first stage, people make decisions to avoid physical punishment. But by the last stage, people observe what Kohlberg calls universal moral principles, showing respect for the dignity of human beings. Most people improve their scores on the scale as they mature into full adulthood, but studies have repeatedly shown that medical students don't improve. Instead, they generally remain stagnant at the same stage when they graduate as when they entered medical school. Fred Hafferty is a medical sociologist at the University of Minnesota.
Which not only then means no improvement and no growth in moral reasoning, in some respects that actually means what growth you should have seen has been retarded.
Hafferty studies how medical students are molded into physicians. He says that the structure of medical education is one element responsible for the lack of moral growth seen in the studies. And while the ethics classes offered by medical schools are needed, Hafferty says they're not enough.
We don't help you very much. We almost sort of throw you to the moral sharks and say, sink or swim. Well, that's a terrible way to teach. We have to develop more of a moral orientation towards medical education.
A moral orientation, he says, that would force all doctors in the hospital and the classroom to be accountable for the ethical development of medical students. For NPR News, I'm Julie Rosenthal.